We're turning to the book of Ruth, into the chapter 2. This afternoon we want to look at a little verse towards the end of this particular passage. But before we do so, we'll seek the Lord in prayer. Father, again we come to Thee in our time of need. We thank You for help given even in the place of praise this afternoon, for the joyful singing from hearts that know and love the Saviour. Now as we come to sit at Thy feet, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit would be our teacher, revealing to us the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, helping us to know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and not only to know it, but we pray for grace and help to do it, that we might be a people truly blessed of the Lord. And so open the eyes of our understanding now, we pray. Give us hearts that are receptive to the good seed of the gospel. And may our life bring forth much fruit for the glory of Thy great name. Amen. Now we're looking at verses 21 to 23 of Ruth chapter 2. And we read these words in the Word of God. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz, to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And may the Lord be pleased to bless these words to our hearts this afternoon. I think it's fair to say that as Christians there's probably nothing more important in our Christian life than an understanding of what is the will of God, and then an undertaking of it. Finding and knowing the will of God and following that will is an essential part of being a Christian. George Truett said that to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To find the will of God is the greatest discovery. And to do the will of God is the greatest achievement. Now, you may be familiar with the name of William Booth. He was the founder of the Salvation Army, and his children followed in his footsteps in service for the Saviour. His daughter Miriam, in particular, she was a brilliant young woman and began her Christian work with great promise and with great success. However, very soon she contracted a disease that brought her almost to the very point of death. And a friend who came to visit her told her what a great pity it was that a young woman with her capabilities should be hindered by sickness from doing the Lord's work. And as she lifted her head from the pillow, she said, It is wonderful to do the Lord's work, but it is greater still to do the Lord's will. And she had determined that it was the Lord's will that had brought her to this place of sickness. I like what someone else said, that out of the will of God there is no such thing as success, and in the will of God there can be no such thing as failure. We included in our order service that quotation from David Livingstone, where he said, I'd rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than on the throne of England out of the will of God. So I say without hesitation that every Christian desires and seeks and longs to know and to do the will of God. And I believe that if we were fully submitted to that will, that we would be in a place of constant revival. The greatest tragedy that can befall a church or a people of God is that though we have been saved by the Lord's grace, that we still allow our old self, our old ego to get in the way, to do our own things, to go our own, to please ourselves rather than to bend our knee before the Lord and to say, not my will, but thy will be done. If there's one thing that puts the brakes upon the Holy Spirit being at work in our life, it's a people that will not bend, will not submit to the power of God. So if we want to experience God working in our lives, then we must, as far as we possibly can, seek to do the will of God in our lives. And it's at this point in the story of Ruth that these verses 21 to 23 brings us to. There are lessons that we can certainly glean about understanding and knowing the will of God. And as we've seen over recent weeks, Ruth is growing and learning in her Christian experience. It's not very long that she's been in the land of Israel and trusting under the shadow of the Lord's wings, as we find there in verse 12. She's only recently come to this knowledge, but her desire and her hunger for the things of God is certainly challenging and encouraging. And one of the things that concerns her now is knowing and doing the will of God. I remind you that Boaz is a picture, an illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in these verses we're going to see a portrait of Ruth, the believer, submitting herself to the will of Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, as she goes about her work in the fields of the harvest. And there's an obvious picture there of the believer in submission to the Saviour and engaged in the work of his kingdom. So what can we learn about such service from the life of Ruth? Well, the first thing I bring your attention to is this, that there's a particular place for her service. In verse 21, Ruth, the Moabite, said, "He said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." I compare that with verse 8. Boaz said unto Ruth, "Hearest not thou, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." So there's a particular place that she should be serving, and that's within the fields of Boaz. Notice how it is that Ruth comes to understand what is the will of God for her life at this time. Ruth said, verse 21, "He said unto me." He said unto me. Boaz makes known to Ruth what is his desire for her life. He has spoken what is his will. He has revealed to her what it is that he wants her to do. And he says, "This is the place. I want you to stay in this field and to work and to labor amongst my young men and my maidens here in this field." We read from the Apostle Paul a little earlier in Ephesians 5, verse 17. He said, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now that tells me something. That if God has a will and a purpose for our lives, and he does, then it stands to reason that he wants us to know what that will is. And if he wants us to know what that will is, then he must show us what his will is. And how does he reveal his will in this case to Ruth? "He said unto me." He spoke unto her. Now the question is, how does God speak to his people today? It's not through dreams and visions. It's not through some spiritual ecstasy. God speaks to us today through his Son, through the Word of God. He speaks to us through the Scriptures of truth. We have in our hands the full revelation of God to man, From Genesis to Revelation, we hold in our hands the Word and the will of God. And He speaks to us through that Word. We come to Him in prayer, we speak to God. When we come to read the Bible, He speaks to us. And He reveals to us what is His good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said unto me. Now, there are some reasons why we as the Lord's people do not always know the will of God. There are reasons for it. One of the reasons that we don't know the will of God is because of our own failures to do what we already know to be the will of God. In other words, if we're not faithful in the things that God has already revealed to us to do, then He's not going to reveal the next step along the way. Steps 4, 5, and 6 will not be revealed until we have completed steps 1, 2, and 3. It only stands to reason. There's no point the Lord showing us what is next if we were not doing what is now. So there are certain things that we know already to be the will of God that we don't have to ask questions about and inquire, is this God's will? For instance, we know that we are to be faithful to the Lord. We are to be obedient to His commands. We know that it's implicit that we can meet together with others of like precious faith and join in worship and praise. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We are to be faithful in those things. We know that we have to tithe our incomes. We know that we should be praying. We know that we should be reading our Bibles. And yet often we're disobedient in the things that we know to be the will of God because He has expressly revealed them to be so. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 7, He answered and said unto them, My doctrine is not mine, but Him that sent me. And if any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. In other words, He's saying the key to knowing the will of God is seen in our willingness to do what we already know to be the will of God. And if we won't do what we already know to be the will of God, then how do we expect God to reveal anything else to us? So that's something to think about. You're seeking the will of God for your life, for your future, what to do next, what direction to turn. Consider the question, how are you doing with what you already know to be God's will? How's your obedience in the things that have already been revealed? Are you seeking to do the will of God now as you know and understand it to be? Because if you're not, then don't expect guidance for tomorrow or the days to come. Seek to do the will of God as you understand it now to be, and then the next step will be revealed. We've used the illustration before, but it's worth bearing in mind that wonderful verse in Psalm 119, where God's word is likened unto a lamp to our feet. It's not a torch that sends a beam out into the distance, it's a lamp. If you've ever walked with a lamp, it sheds a glow around itself. Doesn't send a beam, just a glow around the lamp itself. And as you hold the lamp, it sheds a light around your feet. And as you take a step into where the light is shining, then the lamp allows its light to go another step in front. And you walk step by step as the lamp reveals the pathway before you. That's what it means to know and do the will of God. Walking in obedience to the lamp of God's word, as we take our step into what we know to be His will, then the lamp moves forward and the next step is revealed. So the first key to knowing the will of God is our willingness to do what we already know to be His will. Now there's another reason why sometimes we don't know what the will of God for our life would be. And it's because we want to check it out first. And we want to decide whether or not that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that the will of God fits with our plans and with our preferences. We want to approve the will of God before we answer the will of God. But that's not, again, how it works. To do the will of God is to take our life like a blank sheet of paper and to hand it to God with our name simply signed on the bottom and telling Him to fill it in as He desires. The very moment where we want to examine God's will and decide whether that fits our opinions and our preferences or not, then we fail to know and do God's will. It comes without our approval. But let me tell you something. To do and to know the will of God is the greatest thing that a Christian can do. And though it seems that the Lord is leading contrary to our own desires and our own aspirations, rest assured that the will of God is good and blessed and perfect. And He knows far better what you need than what you do yourself. I urge you to trust the Lord, to lean upon Him and not on your own understanding. Boaz makes known to Ruth what he wants her to do. And the Lord will make known to us what He wants us to do if we will yield ourselves to Him and to His bidding. Now notice what we can also say about the will of God. It was a personal revelation. Notice what Ruth said. He said unto me. He said unto me. Don't expect someone else to know the will of God for you. In fact, if someone comes to you and says, God has told me something about you, something for you, don't believe them. Don't believe them. The Lord will reveal His will to you sure enough and easily enough to you yourself without an intermediary. You already have an intermediary. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who intercedes for us at God's throne, and He will reveal His word to you. It was a personal revelation. He said unto me. Not only was it personal, it was precise. Abide in my field. There was no doubt about what Boaz had said. There was nothing that caused Ruth to say, I wonder, did he mean this instead? It was precise. And it was promising. He was to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. There's a promised blessing in doing and knowing the will of God. It's not just some short-term relationship that Boaz has in mind. This is a long-term productive relationship. So there's an understanding of what the will of God is. And following that, there must be an undertaking of that will. Now that Ruth understands what Boaz expects of her, notice what verse 23 says. So she kept fast, or kept close, to the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. Having revealed His will for her, Ruth then seeks to undertake and to do that will. He said, she submitted. So there comes a comprehension of what the Lord reveals, and then there must come a compliance to it. So when the Lord speaks to us, it's not merely to increase our curiosity or our intellectual knowledge or theological knowledge. He calls us to pursue a personal relationship with Himself. He expects us to follow, or as Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. It becomes our desire not only to know God's will, but to do God's will. Now there's a word of encouragement for us here. Sometimes we're tempted to think that we can't do very much for the Lord. That we're limited in our skills or our talents or our opportunities to serve the Lord. Let me assure you that the Lord has a plan and a purpose for your life, and as you commit yourself to Him, as you follow that perfect will of God, that He will be pleased to bless and use your work in His kingdom. Yes, we may not have the same gifts and talents as others, but then the Lord, He has gifted us and given us talents in other areas where perhaps others fall short. God has a purpose and plan for your life. Our place is not to question the what, the why, the when, or the where. Simply to obey, to say yes, to seek and to know His will and then desire to do it. There was a particular place of service that Boaz would have Ruth to serve. In my field. Now, what else can we say about this place of service? Not only was it a particular place, but it was a pleasant place of service. Verse 22, Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good. This thing that Boaz is asking you to do, it is good, it is pleasant. It is delightful that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. What Boaz asks of Ruth is not a burden, but a blessing. When he is given a command, it's not something that should discourage her, but something that delights her. The will of God is not a job, it is a joy to do. It is good, Naomi said. What Boaz wants of you and from you is good. Nothing greater could have happened to Ruth than to have fallen into company with Boaz and for him to ask of her to stay in his field. There's nothing greater that can happen in your life or mine than God coming to us and saying, "This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do." And our greatest delight, in spite of the hardships, because serving God is not always easy. It's not always the thing that we might choose to do. But when God says, "This is what I want you to do," there our greatest delights are to be found. I was reminded this morning, and thank you, Glynis, it's 2 years since my installation here. Now, I've been here longer than 2 years. But those 2 years, that installation service, marked for us, me personally and for Tanya and the rest of the family, it marked the will of God for our lives to be here, to serve the Lord in this part of His vineyard. Well, we could have served in other places. We could have returned to Ulster. We could have been in another church today. And I suppose there are times when you think of friends and families that have been left behind. But you know, to be here in the will of God is far better than being anywhere else outside of the will of God. I've known people that have regretted not doing the will of God as they knew it to be. And for the opportunity then to bypass them and moved on to another, and they're left only with regrets of not doing what God asked them to do. I don't want those regrets. And I know you don't want those regrets. There's no better thing for our life than for the Lord to reveal His will for us. We say with Naomi, "It is good. It is good." The Lord called me to His service in the words of Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. And Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Has being a minister always been easy? No, it hasn't. But it's a delightful place to serve the Lord. A delightful place. It's been good to have been walking in fellowship with the Lord. In what ways was it good for Ruth to stay in the field of Boaz? Well, there's the resources that are available to her. You look back to verse 9, and the instruction that's given to Ruth, let thine eyes be in the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. There's protection in the field of Boaz. Remember, Ruth is from Moab. She's a stranger in the land. She has no friends or family in Bethlehem apart from Naomi. There's none to care for her or watch out for her. So Boaz takes her under his wing and says, stay in my field. And I'll make sure you have no troubles. There will be no one to upset you. I'll charge the young men that they shall not touch thee or interfere with you. No one's going to take advantage of you. There's protection for Ruth in this field of Boaz. Not only protection, but provisions. There's water for her when she's thirsty. There's food for her to glean. In fact, we seen last time that Boaz instructs his reapers to leave handfuls on purpose for her. He saw to it that every need was met. She found plenty in his field. That's the character of the Lord's field. It's a good field to be in. It's the best field in which to labor. There she gleaned and took of the fruit of the harvest and brought it home for others. The will of God is the greatest place of security. For as long as I am in the will of God, who can touch me? Who can pluck me out of his hand? It's the Lord that keeps us. The Lord that protects us. When we are in the will of God, we are invincible until the Lord takes us home. Here we find she's protected and provided for. There's supply for every need. Forget who it was that said that the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. There were resources available to her. And there are relationships for her in this field. She came to Bethlehem knowing no one but Naomi. But here in the field of service, there's the men that labor there. There's the young maidens also. She becomes acquainted with the other workers in the field of Boaz. I can think of friends all over the world. And how do I know them? How did I meet them? By being in the will of God. Being in the service of the Master. Though they serve in different places today, there's a relationship with others at work in the field of the Savior. There's a bond that develops amongst the people of God as we work and labor and worship together. We have a peculiar fellowship with one another. We are part of the body of Christ. We are united to one another. What a blessing it is to have opportunity to meet with others of like precious faith. Part of a fellowship. We ought to thank God daily for his people. They are precious. So we should be praying for them and laboring for them and seeking to encourage one another. There's the relationship along with the other workers that we enjoy in the field of the Master. And then more importantly, there's the Master himself. Every day that Ruth spends in these fields, she spends close to the Master Boaz. She was near unto the Master because he is in his field. Surely that's the greatest part of being in the will of God. The closeness and the fellowship that we enjoy with the Savior. To be outside of the will of God, to be outside of this field of service, brings Ruth out of fellowship with Boaz. To be in the field and to be follower along with the other workers is to be close to the Master. John Wesley, every day of his life, would keep a journal of his activities and the things of God. And he records on one occasion how he visited with a dear lady that was ill in bed. And over the past 6 months, she had buried 7 of her family. And she had simply recently heard news that her husband was now missing at sea. And John Wesley came and visited with her and asked her the question, "Do you never fret or worry about any of these things?" And he records that she replied with a smile on her face. She said, "How can I fret at anything which is the will of God? Let him take all. Besides, he has given me himself, and I have learned to love and praise him at every moment." To have the Lord himself, to be able to say that it is good. It is good what he asks to do. So there's a particular place of service. And a certain pleasantness and delight to be found in that service. And so we read at the end of verse 23 that Ruth continued in that field to the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. She dwelt with her mother-in-law. She would stay in the field until the end of the harvest, until her work was done. She stayed as directed in the place of dedicated, devoted service. May we make sure that our service of the Lord lasts until the end of the harvest. And so we'll find that there will be work for each day. That's what it means. Day by day, at the command of Boaz, he went and labored in his field. That's how we are to approach the will of God and the service of God. Dedicated and devoted to the Lord and to his work, day by day. The Lord would have us to glean faithfully every day in his field. To be constantly and consistently at our place of service, carrying out his will until the day that he comes or calls for us. I know that when the Lord returns, that our desire will be to be found in the place that God has asked us to serve him. We don't want to be absent from our post. We don't want to be AWOL, absent without leave. We'll want to be in our place of service. And so she stayed in the field consistently, day by day, until the service was complete, until the end of the barley and the wheat harvest. Knowing what the will of God was for her life, she set about doing it every day until the work was done. During the construction of the Brooklyn Bridge, the engineer who was responsible for its construction, was injured and was restricted to bed for a long period of time. And every day his wife would carry his orders and his plans out to the workmen and bring back their reports of the work that had been carried out. Until finally the bridge was completed and the architect was able to rise from his bed and be brought to see the completed structure. And as he stood and looked upon the bridge upon completion, he scanned over the entire work. He looked with a critical eye upon the cables and the piers and the girders all held in place, and he noted every detail, and he saw that it was carried out precisely as to his instructions and to his plans, all carried out to the minutest specification. And then a smile came upon his face, a sense of joy and achievement as he realized that the bridge was completed exactly as he had designed it, and he was heard to cry out, "It's just like the plan. It's just like the plan." May we seek to know and to do the will of God until the day that he calls us home, and may the Lord be able to say about our life and work and labor, "It was just like the plan, just as I had intended." We want to be able to say with the Apostle Paul that we have finished the race, and we have kept the faith, and we have fought the good fight. We want the Lord to be able to look upon us with joy in his face at the life that we have lived of service and obedience to him, and for him to say, "It was just like the plan, just as I intended your life and your service to be." So Ruth commits herself to staying in the field of Boaz. She doesn't wander from one field to the next. She settles down to work in the fields of grace. Oh, that we would catch a glimpse of the vision of that truth today and not be guilty of wandering here, there, but to stay where the Lord has placed us, to labor as he has instructed us, and to give our life and our service and our obedience to the cause of Christ. May the Lord determine our hearts today that we're done with wandering around and going astray, that we're going to settle down and serve him and labor in his field until he comes for us. Let me just say, perhaps you don't know anything about the service because you've never been saved. You don't know about the will and work of God because you've never come to him. You've never repented of your sins. You've never received Christ as Savior. Can we encourage you today to enter into the field of service for the Lord, to come and bow before him and confess your need of him, and find him to be that loving master, the one who saves us from our sins and puts us into his service? Or perhaps, Christian, though you've been saved by his grace, you've strayed from his field. And like Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, you find yourself in bypath meadows in another field. Can we, in the name of the Lord, invite you to return to the place of dedicated and devoted service, and to join along with us as we work in fellowship for and with the Master, and encourage you to throw in your lot with the people of God and to come and serve our wonderful Savior, to know and to do the blessed will of God. May the Lord help us in each of our various ways to serve him just like the plan, just like his purpose. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you again for our wonderful Redeemer, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who not only loved us but gave himself for us. We thank thee that he was fully dedicated to the will of God on our behalf, though it meant suffering upon the cross, though it meant bearing our sins and our iniquities upon his body. He was able to pray, "Not my will, but thy will be done." We thank thee for his willingness to complete the service given to you, so much so that even when hanging upon the cross, that he was able to cry out, "It is finished." The work of redemption completed. Oh, that we might also likewise as his people continue to serve thee until our labors end. These things we ask and pray in the Saviour's name. Amen.